Second petition of the Lord's Prayer this evening through the words of 1 Corinthians 15, 23 through 28. And so let us look at Lord's Day 48 in our Creeds and Confessions book, the small book. Hopefully there's one nearby. You can find that on page 53. Question and answer 123. What does the second request mean, your kingdom come? Means, rule by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Keep your church strong and add to it. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all. Now let us turn to God's Word. We are going to read 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read verses 20 through 28. Find that on page 961 in your provided Bibles. Hear now God's holy word. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Then, at His coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom of God, kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that He is accepted who put all things in subjection under Him. When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to Him who put all things in subjection under Him. That God maybe all in all. Beloved citizens of God's kingdom, when you have a certain goal in mind, it sets into motion a certain sequence of events. For example, if you were to decide that you wanted to make pizza for dinner in the following evening, you would make sure to follow a certain sequence of events, such as you would start off making sure you had enough time to make the dough and allow it to rise. You would roll out that dough and put the toppings on it next and then bake it. It wouldn't make sense to bake the dough first and then put the toppings on because the toppings wouldn't be cooked as well then. And so when you have a certain goal in mind, certain order of events need to happen. And Paul tells us here that the goal of the kingdom of God is that God will be all in all. That once again, all those forces that are seeking to be out from under God's rule and reign would be brought into subjection once again. And so that makes our theme for this evening. God will be all in all upon the perfect completion of His kingdom. Once again, God will be all in all upon the perfect completion of His kingdom. And so as we look at this theme this evening, we will look at those order of events. Starting off with the past events that Paul points to. Secondly, we will look at the current events. And then finally, the future events. So first of all, those past events. Paul is addressing this church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth has members who do not believe in the resurrection of the body of believers, the actual physical bodies being resurrected in the final days. They have not allowed for God to be all in the physical realm, in the material being of people. They were teaching that God no longer wanted to rule over physical creation, but He was only concerned with that spiritual realm. And so Paul gives them a little history lesson to show them that God's kingdom stretches over all. And he starts with Adam, reminding them of the place where a rebellion happened. In that garden. And Adam was made both body and soul. And in verse 21, Paul says, "For as by a man came death." And in verse 22, he says, "For as in Adam all die." And so by starting with Adam, he's directing that focus towards the rebellion that happened. Adam was told in the garden to be a king of sorts. He was told to rule over the garden. He was to keep it. He was to have dominion over the animals. He was told to obey God in all that he was doing. And God blessed him so that he was able to do that work. And he was to do this for God's honor and glory. And so with Adam, he was that man who God created, gave him his spirit and blessed him and gave him his position in his creation so that God would be all in him. Yet we know the story, don't we, kids? Adam did not obey the commands and the will of God. He did not guard the garden. He did not have dominion over the animals because a snake came into the garden. That snake who was Satan, and he tricked him into disobeying God's commands and tricked him into thinking that he could be above God. That he could be out from under God's rule and reign. And by that, he brought about death. And as we read in verse 26, death is an enemy of God. It is God's enemy because in Adam we became all spiritually dead. And we have no will to serve God and obey Him. But we also are dead, or will be dead physically. Our bodies then are not able to do what God created them to do. And death reigns over us rather than God, who is our all in all. And so all who come from Adam are doomed to serve death and Satan rather than God. And there is only one who has escaped this dominion of Satan and death. And that one is Christ. And Paul calls Christ the first fruits. In verse 20, he says that Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is the first to be able to do what Adam was unable to do, Adam was called to have that dominion over the garden, but Satan tricked him. Adam submitted himself to Satan's deceit. And Jesus in the desert proved that Satan could not have dominion over him, and he tells Satan to be gone and combats him with the Word of God. And when Jesus starts his ministry, he shows his power over the forces of evil. He shows his power over that kingdom of death and of the devil. He casts out demons. He reverses the effects of sin by restoring sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He heals diseases and raises the dead. And that's what brings many to ask that question, is this the Christ? Is this the one who will restore the kingdom to Israel? Many were anticipating a Savior. But they were anticipating a wrong type of Savior. They wanted political salvation. And they came seeking Jesus because they had hope that He would restore the kingdom to Israel, a physical, political kingdom. But Jesus knew better. The greatest enemy was Satan and death. And Jesus came to save them from their spiritual enemies first. Because without conquering them first, the physical realm had no possibility of being redeemed. We would continually be stuck in our sin, as the nation of Israel proved over and over again. And because this king was not the king they wanted or expected, they put him on the cross. They crucified him, and he suffered and died. But death had no hold over him. It could not have dominion over him because he served as the perfect Son of God. And so God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And he becomes the first fruits. And he is the reason why we can inherit eternal life, both body and soul. He is that first part of the harvest, and we are to follow him. But there is still an interim. There's still a time that we must wait. For Paul's ordering of events shows that we cannot be raised till after all things have been put under his feet. And so when Paul speaks about this resurrection, he also ties to it the ascension to heaven. Ephesians 1:20 through 23 says, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he also put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And as we read this, we might think, well, he has just said he has put all things under his feet. So why is he not physically ruling and reigning over us now? Why do we not see his rule and reign in the sense of a physical kingdom? And we also have seen in Corinthians here that not all things have been put under his feet. His enemies have not been subjected under his feet. It is because in Ephesians as well as in Matthew, this authority is given by God. The authority and power of God the Father is given to Christ so that he might accomplish the final tasks of bringing all into submission under him, all his enemies, that he would be able to destroy the works of the devil and to gather in those who belong to the church. He is informing us of the power that Jesus has at His disposal to gather the people in and fight the forces who would oppose God. And so we are currently in that period where the pivotal battle has been won, but all His enemies have not been yet subjected to Christ. It is a time in which Christ rules as King to establish and grow His kingdom so that the end may come. I think the best illustration that I've heard to help us understand this is an illustration from World War II. On June 6, 1944, over 100,000 troops landed on the beach of Normandy. They call this D-Day. But it was that battle that many believe gave them the victory. That it was the pivotal battle that brought about victory for the Allied forces. If they would not have won that battle, all would have been lost. And so it is, when Christ died and was resurrected, the pivotal battle has been won. Death has lost its sting. And though there are still sins, many sins have been atoned for. And though the devil still is running around roaring like a lion, he has lost his hold on many people. There are still battles to be fought in our own lives and in the lives of others. Just as there were many battles to be fought between D-Day and VE Day in World War II. And this is a picture of what Christ has done. So people of God, when we pray, Your kingdom come, we are not asking only for some future kingdom. We currently have God ruling and Christ ruling and reigning in heaven at the right hand of God. And we are asking that God would rule over us even now, as the Catechism points out to us, that He would rule over us by His Word and Spirit, that we would become more and more into submission to Him. We wish to be willing subjects in all aspects of our life, so that God would become all in us. But we are also praying that Your will be done, that more people would be brought into this kingdom, that more would become willing subjects to God's rule and reign in the kingdom through joining the church. And finally, we pray this, as the Catechism says, because we want all of God's enemies to be destroyed. We want all of those who are opposing God's kingdom to be destroyed. We want God's cosmic conquering to come to a completion, so that the future age may be ushered in, which is our final point, the future completion. And so Paul's final order of events show those events that happen before the end, those things that must happen before God is all in all. And the first of those is the destruction of that final enemy, death. And this coincides with Christ's return to earth, where He brings the kingdom of heaven to earth, and we follow Him as the first fruits in the resurrection. And so those who belong to Him will be raised. There will be a resurrection of our physical bodies. In our entire being, we will have God as our all in all. But it is interesting to note that when all these things take place, we see that Christ delivers over that kingdom to the Father. It seems like a very strange action. It seems like something was not quite right here, because even the angel in Luke 1:33 says that Jesus will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be no end. But this handing over of the kingdom to God does not show a discontinuation of Christ as Lord, but it emphasizes that the work of Christ, the purpose of the kingdom, has come to completion. That the redemption that He does is complete. And so Christ has finished His work as our mediator. He has completed the restoration and renewal of God's people and brought the kingdom to earth. And so He returns the kingdom of God, so that God may be all in all. And so, beloved people of God, when we pray the petition, "Your kingdom come," we are praying that God's rule and reign would increase even now. We desire that those places in our lives that we have not yet submitted to the Lord would be brought into submission to Him. We want God to be our all, in every area of our lives. Whether this be our family, school, or even our computer time. That all these things would reflect who our King is, who has saved us from the dominion of Satan and from death. We also are praying that others might become part of His kingdom, being saved from death and the enemies of God. And we also want God's enemies to be destroyed, so that there would no longer be any person or power in opposition to His will and His ways. And when this is accomplished, then comes the end, where God will be all in all. Amen. Let us pray. King of kings and Lord of lords, we thank You for Your rule and reign. We thank You for Your redemptive power that has brought us out of darkness and into Your marvelous light. That we have been saved, both spiritually and someday physically. And that we would be transformed in the twinkling of an eye and join You in heaven, living under Your rule and reign until throughout all the ages. And we ask, Lord, that You would impress this upon us, that we would forever anticipate the coming of Your kingdom in our lives now and in the age to come. This we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.